Hello and welcome to the InfraDig podcast. This one, well, it's a legacy podcast from the recent PPP Americas conference in Panama, which was hosted in July by the Inter-American Development Bank. Sadly, my guest today was not able to make it in person to the conference, so we're recording this remotely. And so, the spirit of IDB's PPP Americas lives on. First of all, let me make my introductions. Me, I'm Angus Leslie-Melville, and I'm editorial director of IJ Global, Infrastructure Journal. I'm delighted to welcome Denise Arana, general manager of public-private partnerships and privatization at the Development Bank of Jamaica. Denise, welcome to InfraDig.
Thank you so much, Angus. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Lovely to have you here. Now, needless to say, we're going to be talking about Jamaica, and our listeners will be keen to hear about your plans on the PPP front. But first of all, can you please take a moment to briefly introduce yourself?
Okay, well, I am Denise Arana. I am the head of public-private partnerships and privatization at the Development Bank of Jamaica. I've been in this job since the government officially introduced PPPs in 2012. And so I have a lot to tell you. I'm looking forward to sharing.
I'm looking forward to hearing. And so there from the embryonic days, you're the right person to be talking to. Okay, so now, before we start looking to the future, let's be honest, our listeners are always most interested in market potential and future strategies. But for now, let's take a look back at Jamaica's PPP experience to date. Now, I ran through the IJ Global database for closed deals, and from what I can see, there have been four major PPP transactions to date. They're mostly in the transport sector. In fact, they're all in the transport sector. Two airports, a container terminal, and a highway project. Can you please run us through Jamaica's experience to date and the national appetite for PPP?
Well, Angus, if you check other databases would say that we've had private participating in infrastructure since 1990s, right? But when we officially start to talk about PPPs and what PPPs are today, you are correct that it started in around the 2000s, early 2000s. And yes, we've done one more than you have in your database for financial close. We've done two highways, we've done two airports and one port. So I don't think you have the second highway, which is a north-south highway, recorded in your database. So since then, the good news is we have reached commercial close on two other PPP transactions, a very small, about US $5 million, a very small pilot project, a solar energy efficiency project. And that has to do with schools. It's a pilot project of 30 schools. And so we signed that agreement in about March 2022. And in November 2022, we also reached commercial close on the Rio Cobre water treatment plant. So we have two others. They haven't been included in your database yet, Angus, because they have not reached financial close. So they are at that lovely place between commercial and financial close when you have to get all of your condition precedents satisfied, and then you have to seek financing. So we're looking forward to having those transactions close in the next couple of months. So in all, you can say that we have done seven, five have reached financial close, and two commercial close, and they are now in the process of moving towards financial close.
Fantastic. Well, that's a good foundation to build off, so fantastic. Now, I think that sets the scene rather nicely. So let's bring it up to date, though. Now, I'm aware that the IDB has provided support to the PPP program and most recently created a climate resilience toolkit to support Jamaica and other countries, to be fair, in developing resilient PPPs. Can you please tell us what's the latest development on this front?
So it's something that we're really very proud of, Angus. And firstly, let me just acknowledge that the IDB has been very instrumental in the development of the PPP program in Jamaica. They have been with us since the outset in terms of policy development and, you know, in institutional framework. And so they've helped us. They've helped us on individual transactions as well. So they're one of several multilaterals who have provided support to us. And the latest support that they have provided officially now is to create, help us to create and establish this toolkit. And what the toolkit really outlines, Angus, is exactly how we can incorporate climate risk assessment into our PPP development process, because that was not there before. And you know that climate change and resilience and sustainability, you know, those are very important and key kind of issues when you're looking at infrastructure development. So we now have a toolkit that outlines the process incorporating the climate risk assessment. We also have guidelines, operational guidelines, and they're published on our website along with the toolkit. So we're moving from, you know, just a study to operational details. And we recently got our PPP policy revised to include the climate risk assessment officially in our policy. And it has been approved by the government of Jamaica. The cabinet approved it in March. So it's not just talk. It's not just a document, it is live. And even when you look on our operational guidelines on our website, it says that this is a live document because we are now going to sit with the IDB to implement one or two transactions using that template, you know, to kind of test it. We're going to see what applies. Because, you know, one of the things I can tell you, Angus, is that because we're a small island developing state, right? We have certain nuances. Obviously, when it comes to climate change and exposure, we have significant exposure to these severe climate and weather events. So we are probably considered at more risk than some countries. So this is very, very important to us. And so it is that important that we're implementing it, we're putting it into actual practice and testing it to see, you know, what works, what doesn't. And so that's why we call it a live document. But it's a very, very important development in our program.
Yes, clearly. Okay, moving on to another multilateral. Now, earlier this year, May, if memory serves, the IFC was in Kingston to talk about your PPP program. And from what I read, discussion was primarily focused on urban transportation, roads, healthcare, and water. Can you tell us about the developments on this front? Has it progressed at all over the last couple of months?
So again, I have to say, you know, the IFC and the World Bank have been excellent partners for the government of Jamaica in our PPP journey. And the IFC provided transaction advisory support on the Norman Manley. And in the same way now, the government has contracted them through the Minister of Finance to look at a transaction. It's a brownfield highway transaction. It's the North Coast Highway, which is right on the belt, the tourism belt, right? So it's very important. It has to be expanded, widened, to, you know, allow for ease of movement and to, you know, ensure that there's no congestion, reduce congestion and travel times. And as you know, tourism is one of our key economic sectors, right, where we earn a lot. So this is a very important transaction. So they have the mandate to do that. Since the discussions that we've had, I know that there have been in discussions even before that on some, you know, information technology possibilities. I know that they've started discussions in health, which, you know, is very serious for the government of Jamaica. And they continue, I believe, some other discussions in roads. So we have, and it's been just May, right? And we're in July. So they have made some progress, and I'm aware of some discussions that are being held in those specific sectors. But I just want to add as well, Angus, that beyond the IFC, the World Bank Group has engaged the PPP unit, and we have had discussions to see how they can assist us in further building our capacity, probably funding some, you know, interventions or studies or projects. And, you know, that engagement continues. We've also been speaking about how they can support the de-risking of particular projects. And as you know, given our fiscal situation, it's very important that that happens. So I would just like to say that it's IFC and the World Bank Group that have been working with us very closely to get transactions done.
Okay. When it comes to healthcare and the water, what sort of developments have there been in healthcare and also water? Is that desalination or is that water treatment or is it too early to say?
So in terms of our pipeline, our existing pipeline, water has featured significantly. So I've told you about the Rio Cobre Water Treatment Plant, which is at the commercial close stage, and that's going to add 15 million gallons per day. We have a shortfall in the water sector, which is significant. As I speak to you now, we're going through our annual severe drought, and we have had significant water restrictions. So that is, again, a very important public infrastructure project that will help Jamaicans, you know, their lives will be better with more water.
Yeah.
And so since we're talking about the water sector, there is also a project, the Soapberry Wastewater Treatment Plant, water and wastewater. And we're at the business case stage there as well, and that is a water treatment plant that needs to increase its capacity. It is operating at near capacity as we speak, and there are additional developments that are going to happen in the region, and you know, we need to increase the capacity. So we are at the business case stage with the Soapberry Wastewater Treatment Plant. Non-revenue water, if you're familiar with that, the NWC and the DBJ and an enterprise team had undertaken several months of work looking at the feasibility of introducing non-revenue water performance-based contract. It turns out that after doing the assessment, it is really more feasible for the government to implement it as a public investment, and that's where we are now. But I thought it would have been good to, you know, expose you to the kind of entire gamut of solutions that the government will be looking at in terms of water and wastewater. In health, we had considered previously, and I think that's what the IFC is continuing to look at, centers of excellence in relation to cancer care and kidney care. Those two diseases are significantly impacting our society in Jamaica. And I'm going to tell you, Angus, that while I was aware of the fact that, you know, because I've had friends and family who have, you know, cancer and kidney disease, but when you see the numbers, it's really significant. And so we had commenced looking at a PPP model, you know, to use private finance and private expertise to construct, operate, and maintain a center of excellence for these particular diseases. So IFC is now looking at that as well. So I really anticipate some good, you know, a good transaction coming out of that discussion. But that's where we are with health. And so I hope you're noticing the shift, Angus.
We're doing no, that's the next question.
I know you would be interested in that. I know you'd be interested in that.
Oh, very much so, very much so. But transport does seem to be have been priority in the past for Jamaica. Do you see that going forward? Is it going to continue that way? Because you clearly got your health and your water, but
yeah. So I think the government has broadened the scope of the sectors that we look at for PPP transactions. You are correct that obviously when we spoke at the beginning of this podcast, we spoke about airports, we spoke about roads, and all of these are user-funded PPPs, concession-type PPPs that the government has embarked on. And the government now is looking at government-pays PPPs, which are social sector projects, because they do have a significant impact on the lives of Jamaicans, right? The lives of every single Jamaican. So we're now looking at water. We are looking at health. We are looking at a range of projects that will include, you know, not just economic infrastructure, but social infrastructure. We'll probably, I know your viewers would want to hear about the pipeline, but we're also looking at courthouses, right? I mean, that's something the justice system is very important in the scheme of things. So that's where we're at. We're now broadening the scope of the sectors that we're in. However, we have not precluded, because as I told you, there are road and highway transactions that are being discussed with the IFC. So we're not precluding them. We're not saying that we're not going to do them, but we are now just broadening. We're including the social sector as well.
Okay. Excellent. I think we kind of covered off the next question. I'll read it anyway, but I think that's been covered. So Jamaica has enjoyed some success in creating a sustainable policy and institutional framework that has facilitated the execution of PPPs. Can you run me through the track record to date? Essentially, projects closed, then evolve that into legislation and your view of Jamaica's enthusiasm for PPP. Ideally, we're talking about pipeline projects and procurement and sector priorities. Right. I think we can take from that possibly the enthusiasm for PPP and legislation. I think those are the key things that haven't been ticked off already.
Correct. So it's good to talk about PPPs and to have a PPP program in theory. Mm. What we have found is that without the necessary institutional framework and policy framework, Angus, it just doesn't work as well. And if you're talking about enthusiasm for the PPP program, I can say unequivocally that the government of Jamaica is fully committed to using PPPs as a significant financing tool to create and establish public infrastructure. And I'm not just saying that, it's evidenced by the cabinet approving the policy framework. It's evidenced by the government of Jamaica investing in a PPP institutional framework that includes three institutions. There is a public investment appraisal branch that looks at all public investments and assesses all public investments. And it's at that stage that we therefore look at how we implement. Is it going to be a traditional or is it going to be a PPP process that's used to implement the infrastructure? There is a PPP unit at the Ministry of Finance. The Ministry of Finance's PPP unit looks specifically at value for money. So they assess projects generally, but they really focus on value for money and fiscal affordability. And then there's a DBJ PPP unit, and we look at pretty much everything else, Angus. We look at the overall viability of the project. We look at environmental, social, legal, and regulatory framework. We look at the commercial viability. You know, is there enough interest? Will this project provide a significant or adequate return that there will be interest in the project? So the government has invested in that institutional framework, and it has worked really, really well. And I would say two other things about the government's commitment. The government has also invested money. So they have put money into the project through a project preparation facility, because you know that money is needed to fund these PPP advisories. It's very expensive to do it, and it's very complex. And the government first had a World Bank-funded facility, and we have disbursed around 3.5 to 4 million U.S. to support some of the projects that we're developing. And there will be a new facility. I can't tell you much about that yet, because that's like breaking news shortly. I'll come back and tell you about it when it breaks. And so With the World Bank facility winding down to expiry, there is another facility. So I think that shows really good commitment. There is also significant, there are significant champions within the government and at the highest levels, the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance. They are our champions where PPPs are concerned. So we don't have to worry about government's commitment, Angus. It's there. It's there.
That's good to know.
And we're very comfortable with that.
Excellent. That's good to hear. Okay, Denise, Jamaica, there's a lot of interesting opportunities on the table, but can you please delve into the international appeal? Essentially, why should global infrastructure players be taking a closer look at Jamaica?
Well, I think, let me sum up a lot of things that I've said before. So politically, we are stable. In terms of the business environment, we are stable and improving. We have improved our ranking, on several fronts in terms of the ease of doing business. We have a strong economy. And the economy is doing a lot better post-COVID. We're doing really well post-COVID. 2023 financial year, 2022-23, I think we're recording an estimated 4-5% increase in GDP. Mm-hmm. We have improved ratings, international ratings as well. And I could say a lot more, and I will, in terms of what is important. Yeah, so that's the basic why. That's the basic why. But further, if we delve into infrastructure finance and if we delve into PPPs, in terms of financing, our local capital markets have certainly been developing. And recently, in one deal that is now in that commercial close to financial close phase, we've seen where there has been local commitments, and that's a first, and we're very proud of that, Angus.
That's good.
And the DBJ itself has recently been accredited by the Green Climate Fund. So that opens up a lot of financing opportunities for grants, for concessional, financing capacity, building support. So that's another big, and that just happened. So I think we are definitely ready for infrastructure investment. As I said before, we have a very strong institutional and policy framework. And I think what that gives investors, Angus, it gives them a level of comfort that, one, we have the experience with PPPs, and we have proven that we are able to develop and procure very robust and transparent PPP processes. So that gives them that kind of assurance that they are working with professionals. Our own PPP capacity, there are 25 individuals, 25 government officials were recently internationally certified as PPP practitioners. So I think we're ticking all the boxes to give investors the assurance that we are ready and we are capable. And it has been proven, and our government is committed to welcoming that investment. And I would dare say local investors as well, because even on a recent transaction, we have seen local investors step up and partner with international investors. And that's really one of our aims, to stimulate the local capital markets to embrace PPPs. Yes, they're relatively new, and to participate in PPPs. So the bottom line is we are completely ready, and we have a very robust pipeline of investments waiting for capital and expertise. And it's available on our website. I spoke about some of them on this discussion, Angus, the water, the wastewater. There is much more, We do have a solid waste management PPP that we are working on, and that's a very significant transaction. We also have smaller PPPs that we're looking at, as I said, for courthouses, judicial infrastructure. We have a request that has come in recently for the development, rehabilitation, development, expansion of a sport facility using private finance. So every sector that impacts the economy has been covered in our program.
Everything to play for. Fantastic. And Jamaica open for business and wants the international community to come over and take a closer look.
Definitely. And for more information, people can go to our website, www.dbankjm.com. And there is information on the entire program. There is information on our specific opportunities. We have contact numbers. So I would invite persons to just keep in touch through our website. And as I said, through managers, account executives, through me, there's my contact there. Please feel free to call me to get any updates or if you have any kind of queries on the program.
Heck, I'm going to be telling my reporters to be getting in touch with you. Okay, I think that pretty much brings us to time for this latest InfraDig podcast. Denise Arana, General Manager for PPPs and Privatization at the Development Bank of Jamaica. Thank you very much for taking time to join us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Angus, for giving us this opportunity to share what a small country like Jamaica is doing in the PPP space.
That's lovely to hear it. And for the listener, as always, I sincerely hope that you have found this to be anything but InfraDig.